My water bottle.
It has Element in it too.
So it's probably not mixed too. It's probably settled.
It's so good right now. Thank you, Element, and Emily for leaving her water here for me. Thank you. Welcome to the Proclivity Podcast. Hey guys, I am Joel Cochran. This is Emily Rodella, and we're here to blow your face off. Before the show even started, we were talking about how Emily is a pop topper, aka a top popper. A top
popper.
That means she pops her top when she gets a little hot, just a little hot. Before she even starts sweating, top off. Now, here's the benefit. Emily's jacked. So everybody's like, damn, that chick's. And when I mean jacked, ladies, I mean that she's lean and beautiful, right? And all the things that are feminine and hella strong. She smoked. She did a hero workout the other day and smoked everybody. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Emily Rodella. We are here to talk about stress. How to be able to manage our stress. And this is not going to be what you think, because as we do in Proclivity, we go down to the roots. So there's three things we're going to be talking about today: money, time, and reps. These money and time are the two most vital things in your life. We need money to be able to create time. We need time to be able to create money. They work synergistically. We just tend to put our reps in a direction of either money or time that isn't benefiting us, leaving us more stressed, making poor decisions when it comes to our health or our nutrition or our relationships or our language. And so we're going to talk about all that today. And we're going to give you tangible things to be able to address both your money, your time, and your reps. We're going to dive in. This is going to be really good today. So buckle in. I like using buckle in because I feel like we're going on like a ride or something. Buckle in. We're going to dive right into it. Shall we, Emily? Okay.
Let's go.
Let's talk about it. We work with a lot of people who are businessmen, women, mothers, fathers, and time can get real strapped real quick. With your own personal experience, when it comes to money, time, and your reps, what can you tell us about being able to manage those things?
Yeah, that, man. With myself and what I found with the majority of clients, I found that we have this odd expectation of how much we need to be working or need to be doing X, mm-hmm. right? Whatever it is. But oftentimes it's work, right? Because I ask my clients and myself often, like, why am I not completing the habit I want to be doing? Or why am I not putting my time here? Why am I not doing this? Okay. Well, it feels like I don't have the time for it. Right. So then we start thinking about, well, why am I spending so much time here? It's like, well, I need to work this amount. That's what I need to do to make the money. I need this amount of money. Why do we think these things? Right. Because a lot of times when we get down to it, it's like, well, would you rather have X amount more money, or would you rather have healthy, happy, long life? Right. And it takes a while to get to that point and actually find a true answer. But usually when we get to it, especially in our program, it's a different expectation. It's a whole shift in perspective.
100%. 100%. And in our program, let's talk about why we created the Proclivity Method. We based it off the Proclivity Pyramid, which is a simple step-by-step to be able to start addressing those root issues. Because we look at it, at the top is time. I just don't have time. I'm so stressed out. I got to take the kids here. I got to get to work. I got to do this. I don't have time to invest in myself. I'm saying yes to everyone else. I'm saying no to myself. And I just don't have time to take a break, a breath, let alone work out, let alone go and food prep, let alone make decisions about my health. Mm-hmm. So what is the proclivity pyramid? Run us by if people haven't heard it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So at the bottom is what we deem most important, right? Start at the bottom, work your way up in the pyramid. The very bottom of the pyramid is language, right? Most people are like, what? Mm-hmm. What's language? Right. So if you haven't listened to our Proclivity Pyramid podcast, we have a whole podcast on that. Yet, no, it's our language. Right. What are we saying to ourselves? What are we saying to others daily? Right. Because what we say to ourselves, our beliefs in ourselves, are what points us in the direction that we're going to go, whether it be in an hour from now or a day from now or 5 years from now or 30 years from now. So that's at the very bottom. Next up, right? Most people are like, oh, well, when I want to make a health change, I think I need to work out more or eat less or eat differently, drink less. No, actually, it's our structure in our day, like Joel was talking about. Are we saying yes to too many things? What I was talking about. Do we have a certain expectation of what our day needs to look like? Can we actually shorten it up here, delegate this, not do this, take an audit of our day and week? What am I doing I don't need to be doing? Or can I shorten the time here and there? And how can I make time for things that are actually important to me? So structure. And then within that, sleep, right? If we are not sleeping well, nothing else is going to work. So that's within structure as well. Then we get to the nutrition, which we call the third tier up is metabolic flexibility. So if we are not metabolically flexible, that looks like you're hungry or you get hangry often, right? If you don't eat within 2, 3, 4 hours of a meal, you bonk in the middle of a workout. Endurance workouts are really hard for you, right? That means your body's unable to tap into its stored fat and glucose, stored fuel for fuel and energy, right? So we want to learn how to be more metabolically flexible. And then at the very top, we have we call it movement. Some others would call exercise, workouts, fitness, right? But we call it movement because it could be and look like something very different for every person, which is what we want.
Yep.
So that's the proclivity pyramid.
And when we look at these things, and you guys might be like, what are you talking about language? We're talking about language and the stories that have been created in your lifetime from different traumatic events or events you might even think are traumatic. You're like, oh yeah, that just happened. I mean, it's no big deal. Yet if you talk to somebody else, like, whoa, that happened to you? That's pretty traumatic. And you're like, oh, it is? Because when we have an event at the base root that causes us to question ourselves or the safety or the people around us, we pause and we go, ooh, I don't like that. I want to stay away from that because we want to create safety with ourselves. And so we're going to start creating patterns to find safety and comfort with ourselves. And then we might start backing it with our language over and over and over again. And what we say to ourselves over and over again will expand. So if I look at myself and I go, ugh, you know, I just never look good in a bathing suit. I can't wear a bathing suit. I don't like my body. Where did that come from? At some point, you had to have a moment in which you went, I don't like my body, or someone pointed it out, or you learned it from your parent, and you heard your mom say it, or your dad say it, and they maybe questioned when you were going to the fridge to get more food and go, whoa, do you really need to eat more? When what they were saying is, man, I would really like to eat more, but I don't have a good self-image of myself. So I'm going to project that onto my child, not on purpose. It's just what they're going through. Well, now all of a sudden you stop and go, whoa, do I eat too much? Then you look down, you go, do I weigh too much? We start asking these questions. We start creating the story. Oh, how does this connect to stress? Let me bring it to the forefront. Now all of a sudden that story is, well, I look better when I'm in X clothes. I feel better about myself when I'm driving X car. I feel safe when I have X amount of money in the bank account. So now, instead of being able to look at the trauma and restructure our language around it, we're finding comfort in external things. So instead of going internal to external, we're going external to internal. I need these things out here to make me feel better. Well, what happens when the market crashes? What happens when you lose your job? What happens when you have the kid and now you can't work as many hours? What happens then? Oh, I feel really unsafe again. And I feel really stressed. So now if I can't work or I can't make that money, I'm going to now try to find safety somewhere else because I still haven't addressed what's going on inside of me. And so this layers and layers and layers. I got to make the money to be able to have the clothes to make me feel better. Now, because I'm buying so many things off Amazon or I'm purchasing all the time, I'm in more debt. That means I need to work more. But my body isn't changing because it's actually more stressed out because we're not in a parasympathetic state, rest and digest, because I actually need to work more. I need to work more hours and take care of the kids and try to find a workout and try to do all these things. And your body's pumping out epinephrine, adrenaline, you guys, all throughout the day. And we wonder why we have thyroid issues. And we wonder why we have mid-belly fat. And we wonder why we want hyperpalatable foods because it makes us feel better. It gives us a dopamine and a serotonin hit. Wow, that feels good, man. That sugar feels good. Whew. And I settle in. No wonder we want the alcoholic drink at the end of the night. Finally, I can relax. Just a few drinks will help me relax. You see how this, from the bottom root up, this is what we do in Proclivity. And we give you an established, proven, step-by-step, simple, yet not always easy nutritional habits. We only focus on the one thing. We don't need to make it more complex. We have found time and time and time again that the more complex it is, the harder it is to accomplish because we already got a lot of complexity in our life. And so looking at that pyramid, you guys, start questioning to yourself, ooh, why do I need to make that much money? Why do I need the new car? Why do I need that job? Why do I need that title? What of this makes me feel secure and safe? Because then when we start getting into a debt, we're enslaved to our debtor. The credit card company, the loan on the car, the loan on the house. Now you have no choice. Your freedom has actually been taken from you. And you put the golden handcuffs on yourself. I'm going to get off my soapbox for a second, Emily, but I'm fired up.
That was great. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that. But
Yep. So let's go into actually some statistics that we pulled up. Let's start off with the money statistics. And what we're going to do, guys, we're going to talk to you about statistics where you can kind of see, oh, whoa, this makes sense. And we're going to give you some tangible things to be able to address these so that by the end of this podcast, you can go, oh, do this for my money, do this for my time, and do these kind of reps. Tangible stuff, guys. We want you to do simple yet not always easy things, but we will give them to you today and we will help you de-stress. Emily, hit them with the statistics. Let's start off with money and tell us whether you're surprised by the statistics or not.
Okay, so 1/3 of Americans maintain a household budget. So about 32% maintain a household budget, which means majority do not have any idea what's going on with their money and where it's going, how it's being spent, how much in debt they are, right? The average American spends less than 4.5 hours per year with scheduled time to go over their finances. 4.5 hours for the entire year to go over their finances. And 50% of Americans have less than 1 month of their income saved for a rainy day, right? So if you do get laid off, if you do have an emergency hospital bill, right? Half of people have money saved.
That's less than 1 month. That only takes one thing to happen, you guys, for you to go, oh, crap, we're screwed. And then what do? Oh, man, we're going to have to get a loan. We'll have to get HELOC on the house. We'll have to pull out some credit cards. And now we put the golden handcuffs on ourselves again. Why aren't we putting away this money? Okay. Does any of those statistics surprise you?
Yeah, especially the 4.5 years, hours a year spent scheduled time to go over their finances, right? To me, it should be weekly, if not at least monthly, right? And so the minimum 12 hours, you know, throughout the year, should be bare minimum. So yeah, that surprised me, but I don't know. It doesn't also because of how stressed people are in general with money. It doesn't.
And the one that gets me a lot of the times, one is the budget. That only 30% of people actually budget their money. We'll do metrics. We'll do in business. We'll do KPIs, key performance indexes, every week. We will have statistics on sport athletes that we can rattle out. I can tell you what my one rep max back squat is and what my percentage is for the 5x3 that I'm going to do. But I can tell you exactly what time and what date that new episode's going to come out. But you can't tell me how much money that you spent on your groceries, how much money you put away or budgeted for miscellaneous, how much money you're putting away in your auto, your household. No? Ooh. No wonder the golden handcuffs come out. Because it's capitalistic society. We've said this before. Everybody's trying to sell you something, including us. Be careful where you're giving your money to. You don't need as much as you think. Much less. Less, less, less. Now you're happy. Speaking of the opposite of less is more. We tend to spend a lot of time with work and many other things. Let's dive into the time statistics. Read some of these suckers out. I know some of them are bigger than others, but cap this off. Choose the best ones you want. This one's really interesting, guys. Tune in. Lean your ear in, or both ears.
So the average female in the U.S. works almost 8.5 hours per day. The average male over 9 hours per day. Right, so it's actually above what we would consider an 8-hour day or 40-hour work week. One in five smartphone users spend upwards of 4.5, almost five, or upwards from 4.5 to 5.5 hours a day on their phone. And I doubt that's majority of like working, right? Or even close to that.
Maybe 20 minutes.
One study found that the average employee spends less than 3 hours out of an 8-hour workday actually working on work stuff. Most of the day it's actually spent talking to colleagues on their phone, reading the news, social media. U.S. workers work an average of 1,700 hours per year versus an OECD country average of 17. I'm not quite sure what that one is, but this is 442 more hours per year than German workers. I have some a German friend, and I've heard a lot. They have a lot more flexibility around working hours, with maternity leave, so many different things. They value their time a lot differently. 294 more hours than the United Kingdom, 300 more hours than the French, and 184 more than the Japanese, right? It's a lot. That's a lot of hours more. So basically, U.S. is outworking everyone. And again, at what cost?
Massively. Like, what would you do? Think about it, you guys. What would you do with 442 more hours in your year? 442 hours. Okay. Let's just put that in perspective here. If you did a 20-minute workout 5 times a week, what we said, let's even push it to 6. We move 6 out of 7 days, right? Because people love to say that 80-20, right? 80-20 would be 5.5 out of 7. So when we say like 80, the 80-20 rule, 80% I eat good. Mm-hmm. Eh, maybe. Most likely not. You know, 8%, you know, I do into my workouts. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Actually, most likely not. I ran a very big gym, thousands of people. The average person came to the gym 2.5 times a week. Out of thousands of people that we polled, information we had, 2.5. Why aren't we getting to the gym? Oh, that's because we don't have 442 extra hours like the Germans do. Huh. I wonder why. But if we worked out 6 times a week, right? That would be what, 120 hours or 120 minutes, 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So 4 weeks in a month is going to be what? 2, 4, 6, 8 hours. Okay. So then in a year, it'd be 88 hours.
Sounds right. Yeah.
We're not.
Because 400 hours is going to be at least an hour a day, you know, perhaps, yeah, over an hour a day for the whole year.
Exactly.
Of extra time.
So even just if we had, if we applied that to working out, now you're working out 6 days a week, 20 minutes a day. That's all that's actually really needed. 20 minutes a day, 6 days a week. And that's 88 hours out of the 442. What else are you going to do with those hours? You still have plenty more hours to give. And so our point here, guys, is that we are overworking ourselves because we're chasing something. Why are we chasing it? We are surrounded often, and particularly on Instagram. Oh, if you're spending 4.5 hours on Instagram or Facebook, you are getting ads thrown in your face left and freaking right. Ooh, those glasses. Oh, those shoes. Oh, I could really use that to de-stress. Really? How about we work less and that's how you'll de-stress? How about you don't need to take the supplements to de-stress, you just work less? Okay. I digress because I can feel myself getting a little fired up right now. I can feel myself getting fired up right now. So now we're looking at it and we're going, whoa, there's something going on here. So here's the statistics that we're giving you. Now let's talk about reps. So we talked about money, we talked about time. What are we talking about when we're talking about reps, Emily?
So the first thing I think of is it comes back to the expectations part, right? So especially when I get someone with nutrition, wanting nutrition help, thinking like, oh, I'm going to do whatever you tell me for the next 30 days and I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get that expectation from? Right. Or what's the expectation that you need to look a certain way, or do a certain thing, or need get that bench press, right? Or have the materialistic things, whatever it may be. And so really it comes down to what makes it a lot easier are the reps, right? So reps of beliefs, right? We're repping out these, if we're repping out a belief that we can't do something, it's not going to happen. If we're repping out that we need to have that car, then we're going to have that constant stress, right? Thinking about it daily. If we need the thought that we need the certain money, whatever you want it to be, right? It's going to compound, but it also goes the other way in the positive direction, right? If we can work out 20 minutes a day every day, think about what that can do versus, oh, just like you said, 2.5 times a week or 2 times a week. Very different. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I think of the small reps that lead to a big outcome, either way, the negative or the positive. Mm. And so patience is hard.
Absolutely. Well, because we're being sold right now. Right now. If you guys, if the diet industry worked, it wouldn't be a $72 billion industry. We wouldn't be at the highest obesity rate ever in history. We wouldn't have people dying of heart disease. Right now. I need it right now. Instead of allowing things to compound. Speaking of finances. Mm-hmm. You could allow your money to compound in the market, which all financial advisors are going to tell you to do. Play the long game. Invest monthly $500 Roth IRA. Let it compound. And then you get to the end. You're like, holy crap, look at all this money. I have $1 million because I allowed it to compound. Imagine if we did that with our health and our time. We took the little step, 20 minutes a day, instead of, oh, I'm going to do 6 weeks, 8 weeks of every single day, 1 hour a day, or even two workouts a day, or maybe two workouts a day, a cold shower, and reading 16 books. I'm not calling anybody out, but I am saying, let me see the longevity of that. And just like a market, if you invest into stocks that are volatile, yeah, you might get a quick gain. Man, I put in $1,000, I got 10 grand back. And then it's gone the next day because that company went under. But if you allow it to compound, now you're a millionaire 30 years later. Literally a millionaire. It doesn't take much. People are like, do you know that the group of the most millionaires are school teachers. Isn't that wild? Because they have it. Mm-hmm. They usually work 30 years, maybe even longer. And all it's all put away for them. And it's good retirement. And what does it do? It just compounds. And they have $1 million in their investments, which makes them a millionaire in their assets, their house and their investments. They're now a millionaire. Not annual millionaire, but they would be considered a millionaire. Ain't that something?
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
As you guys can tell, I like finances because I can see how it works.
He's good at it.
And it's helped me as well. So like Emily said, wherever we're putting our thoughts to, they will expand. Repetition is the mother of all skill. If we focus on the can't, won't, don't, shouldn't, that's exactly what we get. Instead of I can, I will, I should, it's happening. Those reps start changing. You can start seeing now, if you're listening, the psychology that is important to be able to make the change. And then the simple, effective strategies that we can rep out again and again and again. Do you agree?
Agreed.
We must be on the same team.
And this is exactly what we go over. If you want to learn more, we could talk about a call with you, right? But this is exactly what we go over in our program. We dive into those limiting thoughts and beliefs and exactly how to do that. We'll give you some tangibles at the end of this here in a moment.
Well, let's dive into them. Okay. We're going to now show you guys. You guys are sitting here like, whoa, I can see it. I can see the connection here. First and foremost, if you want to make that change, sign up for the Proclivity Method. We'll change it. We have life-changing testimonials again and again and again and again. What we were just talking about this morning, we're like, have we ever had a graduation call where they didn't say it was life-changing? I couldn't think of one.
Not that I can think of.
I couldn't think of one. Sign up for it, and we will help you be able to get to that path because this is what we have perfected. Yet, we want to give you some tangibles here to be able to go after. So, I'm going to talk about finances here. Here are some really simplistic things to do. First and foremost, if you are one of those people that do not have a budget and you're listening right now, great. I want you to sign up for Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. I'm going to say it again. Sign up for Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It's $80. It will change your life. You will get out of debt. You will learn how to budget. And you will create a future in which you feel freedom around finances. It's $80. We've put a lot of our clients through it, and they have nothing but amazing things to say. That's number one. Number two, if you do have a budget, make that budget even simpler by getting the Every Dollar app or the YNAB app. You need a budget, YNAB. You can take a look at both. Both are great. It's a way to be able to connect your bank accounts so every transaction you have gets filed in to each category, so you know exactly where you're at. And you pull that sucker up and it can say, you have $250 left in your spending account. Okay, cool. Now we have knowledge, now we have power, now we have control. The last thing, Emily and I did this in the beginning of the year, the minimalist challenge. The minimalist challenge is a great challenge to allow yourself to get rid of all the clutter, all the things you think you need. It's a great challenge. Emily, what's the minimalist challenge?
Yeah, you can do it any which way you want, but the way we did it is 30 days. So start with the beginning of a month, right? January 1st is what we did. You can start any month, anytime. Day one, you get rid of one thing. Day two, two things. Three things, right? And you go all the way up to 30. So you're getting rid of 25 things, 26 things the next day, right? All up to day 30 is 30 things. And it compounds to somewhere over 400 items total, right? So at first you're like, okay, this is easy. And you start thinking about, what am I going to get rid of, you know, tomorrow? So it starts you off easing into it and thinking about it. And then it gets challenging in the 20s. And it's such a great challenge. I loved it.
Give that a shot. Here is the structure that I tell everybody to do. One, have a giveaway box or hamper in which you're going to do your giveaways. Then, obviously, trash can. Certain things where you just got to go, okay, trash can. But you need to have that box, big box, to be able to make it easy to be able to go, okay, I'm going to give this away and I put it here. The other thing is you need to have a calendar. It needs to be where you can see it every day, and you need to mark off each day. That will help you to stay on track. Those are the two things to be able to complete the minimalist challenge. Okay. Those are the finances. Let's talk about structure of time. Emily, how do we structure our time?
Start with your sleep, right? So a good night's sleep starts with looking back at the night before. When do you go to bed? The very first thing you want to start with is a consistent bedtime, right? So what we recommend is what's an ideal wake up time? Count back 8 hours. That's going to be your in bed, lights out, trying to sleep time, right? Start there. How can you get 8 hours of sleep every night, right? Next, movement, right? Can you do 20 minutes of movement daily, right? Because when we can start off with say 2-3 times a week, right? But if you want to be most consistent, something daily is the most helpful with that consistency, because it's every day. It's like, oh, no matter what, this is my non-negotiable. It's just what I do, right? It starts getting into that belief and that identity of, oh, this is just who I am, right? So 20 minutes of movement a day, 20 minutes of outside walking is ideal to add into that, right? So oftentimes we take a break midday, go on a 5, 10, 15, 20 minute walk, right? Or we have multiple 5 minute walks. Walking is great not only to get your body moving, get more steps in, daily movement in, but also for integration, give your mind a break. Joel, what's the 50-10 rule?
I'm so glad you asked. The 50-10 rule is something that I have used, and I have passed to a lot of my hard chargers, business men, women. It is 50 minutes of work, 10 minutes of rest. This is what it looks like. You say to Siri, hey Siri, set a timer for 50 minutes. And she sets it 50 minutes, please. And she sets a 50 minute timer. And you get into that and that only. You don't switch lanes. You stay in whatever work you've decided to do 50 minutes on. I do it at home when it's time to do chores. I do it with work. I do it with a ton of things. And then when that 50 minute goes off, I set another timer. I do the same thing. I say the same thing to Siri, but I say 10 minutes. And then I sit down. And maybe I pull out Instagram. Or maybe I go to the fridge and grab something to eat. Or I do whatever I want in that 10 minutes. But when that timer goes off again, cool. It's time to set another 50 minutes. And that 10 minutes gives me the time to be able to go for that walk, decompress, whatever it is. But if you don't set that 10 minutes, you can get stuck into Instagram, and all of a sudden, 35 minutes later, you didn't realize, oh, I started doing something else. Try the 50-10 rule. I promise you, it is a proven way to be able to get work done. Your mind locks in, you forget about everything else, and you get so much more done when you have a timer.
Yes, yes. Love that. Put your phone away in that 50 minutes. That's what you're doing.
Put it on silent. Put it on silence. Mm-hmm. And then one other thing. I use a application on my browser. Okay, it's an extension you can put on called Momentum. Download Momentum onto your web browser if you use Chrome. It asks you to do, what is the one thing you want to do today? It's on every tab that you open up. It'll show you again and show you again and show you again. Choose one big thing to accomplish every day. We tend to put a 1,500 things on there that really don't need to get accomplished. And then we don't accomplish the big thing. Try to accomplish the big thing and try to accomplish it first. There's a saying, eat the live frog first. First thing in the morning. Because who wants to eat a live frog? Right? Who wants to take care of the big project? You put it away, you put it back, then all of a sudden, oh crap, I really got to get this done. Just do it right in the beginning. Knock it out and get it done.
Yeah, take the stress away, right? Because the longer we think about it, this is with everything. Oh, I need to work out today. I need to work out today. Oh, I need that work project. I need to call that person. I need to book the appointment. Just do it now. Take that little uncomfortable moment to just start it at least, right? You're going to feel so much better.
So much better. So much better. So those are some tangible things, you guys, you can do for your structure of your finances and of your time. Now, last and final, when it comes to your reps, how are you doing it? What are you putting your reps towards? Check in with yourself daily. Where am I investing most of my reps? Is it in other people? Is it in that poor thought of myself? Is it constantly thinking about food? Is it constantly thinking that I need to work out more? Is it constantly thinking about money? You can change those things, you guys, because we're repping it out and it's building and building and building. And we're creating an identity behind those repetitions. And when we can start repping it into a different identity, one that we can start off very small hurdles, I accomplish my workouts. Even if they're 10 minutes or a 10-minute walk, I accomplish my workouts. I drink 100 ounces of water every day. That's what I do. Start creating identities to it to be able to rep it out. And if you need help, absolutely, reach out to us. Absolutely. That's an Emily saying.
No, okay, that's
that is me. All right. Reach out to us. We have a free PDF for you. 3 tips to metabolic flexibility to be able to rep out some very simple nutritional habits that are included in our 12-week program. So this is stuff that we talk about in our 12-week program. It is a beautiful PDF that gives you links to completely understand it. And we're only asking you to do 3 things. And it will help you to de-stress, and it will help you to lose weight, and it will help you to have more energy, and it will help you to get more metabolic flexibility, even on 3, if you're able to do it, reps day in and day out.
Yeah, I'm going to add one little thing on that. So when it comes to the reps, what I find most troubling for people is that mindset and expectation around it. Like, oh, 10 minutes of movement, really? Is that really doing anything? Yes. The little not so sexy things is actually what does the things, get you the results, get you to where you want to be, how you want to feel. So challenge yourself to shift that mindset, shift the expectation, and just give it a try. Think long game, right? Not 30 days, think the year, right? And give it a try. I can guarantee you, you'll start to see that and feel that shift of something is better than nothing in all of these categories, right? Start small, do it daily.
There you go, guys. Here we are, Proclivity, giving away these tangible tips that if you apply, it will absolutely help. We did a podcast on awareness, action, and accountability. You listening to this is taking action. If you need more help with accountability, just reach out to us. Email, Instagram. We will be your accountability partner, whether you want to do the program or not. We're here to assist. We're coaches and we love what we do. So we're here to be able to help out. Emily, anything else?
No, if you're feeling any bit of stress, right? Number one, first and foremost, action over anxiety, right? So if anything you leave from this podcast and listening to it, being like, I'm so stressed about this one thing. What's one small thing you can do to take action right now, right? End the podcast or do the one little tiny thing. I know you'll feel better.
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Take one thing, let the snowball build. That's all it takes, guys. We say 1 minute of action. If you took the next 60 seconds to take action on one of these things, go to Dave Ramsey, sign up for Financial Peace. Mm-hmm. Be able to set your schedule, get 8 hours. Learn how to be able to use Siri or 50-10 rule. Whatever it is, do it. Download the Momentum app on your Chrome. One thing, you don't have to do all of them. One of the things, in the next 60 seconds, you will start creating change. Or you could just nod your head and be like, oh, that sounds really good. I should do that. Stop shooting all over yourself. Okay.
Well said. Well said. And if you guys like this, if you like any of our episodes, please, we would really appreciate it if you shared it with someone, right? Mm-hmm. Text it to them, put it on social media. That helps us a lot to keep spreading the word and helping more people. We really appreciate it.
All right, guys. That's it. Episode 108 in the books. We look forward to being with you next week. Episode 109. Do you know what we're going to cover on episode 109?
Not right
it's
now.
It's going to be a surprise. Tune in next week where 109 will cover. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
Emily? I was going to say, you tell us.
Oh, yeah.
We are always looking for ideas.
You tell us what 109 is.
So send
is.
Them to us again. Yeah, you tell us. Instagram, email us. We are here to
let the people decide.
And we'll talk about it.
All right, we're going to put it out. We're going to let the people decide. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. And as always,
best day ever.
Best day ever. Emily, quick question. If you could be one superhero, what would you be?
Man. I've been thinking about this because my son's into little superheroes and he's into Spider-Man and he likes the Hulk. And gosh, that's a tough question. I don't know. Do you have one in mind?
Yeah, I'm looking at Spider-Man.
I know, because I was like, well, why do people like Spider-Man so much? But he can do a lot with the web. He can do a lot.
He can. Spider-Man can.
So that, yeah, I'd want to do such a me answer. I'd want to research all this. Oh, jeez
Louise. I mean, I look at all their superpowers and be able to sort of rank them against the other.
Yeah, I got to analyze, compare, but we'll go with Spider-Man for now. My son's into that. I'll be Spider-Man with him.
Okay, cool. All right, you guys. If you want a free box of Element, put down in the review what superhero you would be. We'll take a look at it. Shoot us a message on Instagram after you put it in. We'll send you a box of Element for free. All right, guys. See you later.